Let's turn together to God's word as we find it in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that gathereth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power, in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. We pay special attention this morning to verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. The book of Proverbs is an amazing book. The Proverbs were written in such a way by the inspired author of them to strike us sharply and hard with the truth of God and with the truth of salvation and with the truth of the way of the Lord in which we should walk. The particular proverb that we are considering this morning is called an antithetical proverb, which means that it announces two things that are absolutely opposite: the just and the wicked, and the way of the wicked, and the habitation of the just. One of the powerful realities of the Proverbs is that the antithesis of the Proverbs is absolute. There's no in-between. A person is either just or he is wicked. A person either walks in the way of the Lord, in the fear of God's name, or he walks in the way of the ungodly, and it is absolutely sure that those who walk in the way of the ungodly, they shall surely be destroyed. There's no doubt about that that's going to happen. Because him who shall destroy him is God himself. And it is utterly impossible for a man to escape the judgment of God. On the other hand, when the child of God is assured of being blessed of God, that's the comfort of the child of God. Because that blessing, beloved, comes from God himself. And it belongs to God alone to bless. As we're told in one of the prophecies, I believe, of Balaam, whosoever God blesses shall be blessed, and whomsoever God curses shall be cursed. And so in light of that, our text we consider this morning is the Lord's blessing on the habitation of the just. The blessing of the Lord on the habitation of the just. We consider the blessing and cursing of God. And secondly, we consider who are the objects of God's blessing and cursing. And thirdly, we're going to have 4 points. We'll try to keep them as short as possible. Wherein God blesses. And finally, the comfort of God's blessing. This is the Word of God, very, very relevant, beloved, for the days in which we are living. Wicked days, evil days, days of the pouring out of the wrath of God upon this ungodly world through plagues like COVID. And we need to be very clear on the issues that we are experiencing every day. Is God blessing us? Can we be assured that we are being blessed, or are we tormented by the reality that God is and will curse us? What an important thing that is, the blessing of God and the curse of God. Jehovah God blesses the habitation of the just. That is not for no reason that the name Jehovah is used here. Whenever we read the scriptures, we should always pay attention to what particular name God uses in a particular verse of the scriptures. And here the name is Jehovah. Very significant. He is the eternal I am that I am. He is the God who changes not. He is the same from eternity to eternity. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of everything that happens in this world. To him and to him alone belongs the power to bless and the power to curse. That's a fearful reality. It's a wonderful comfort when we can be assured that we belong to the company of the just. It's a terrifying reality when we know in the depths of our conscience, because of our own wickedness, that we are cursed of God. Cursed of God. What an awful thing it is to be cursed of God. On the other hand, what a tremendous blessing it is to be blessed of God. The blessing of God is his favor. It has to do with an attitude that God has toward us. Now just think about that. What does God think of you? And what does God think of me? What are his thoughts continually concerning you and concerning me? That is what the whole subject of blessing and cursing has to do with. It's God's attitude towards men. And it's God's favor, his goodness towards his people, whom he has chosen to be his own. It's God's goodness, his amazing goodness. And there is no goodness of God that doesn't come from Christ. So it is proper to exegete the verse, and we should always do that whenever we preach, otherwise we're not preaching the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, is the good news that he blesses his people, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, he blesses his people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The only way possible that any of us could be blessed is in Jesus Christ. And when you read the epistles of Paul, especially in other parts of Scripture as well, you always come across that amazing phrase of in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. So it is true, beloved, that God blesses us nowhere else. He blesses us in Christ. That means that the ground for which he blesses us has nothing to do with who or what we are in ourselves or what we have done ourselves. It has nothing to do with that. God has ordained a blessing for his people from all eternity in Jesus Christ. The only ground for which he ever will bless us in time and eternity is the ground of Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. And so, wherever you read the scriptures and when you read the Proverbs, never read the book of Proverbs as just some humanistic wisdom, as is true of all of the scriptures. Christ is on every page of the scriptures. The wisdom of which the book of Proverbs speaks of is Christ himself. And so the blessing of Christ, beloved, is the only blessing of God. He has created all things by and for Jesus Christ, and he blesses us only in Jesus Christ. If that were not true, then the whole issue of whether in fact we are blessed or whether that blessing would continue in our life and somehow change into the curse, we'd have to worry that things are going to change. You see? Unless we understand the truth that the blessings of God are in Christ. Okay, maybe we think, for example, that God is blessing us when our life is prospering. Wow. And we talk to everybody about how the Lord is blessing us. And certainly as Christians, we need to understand that we have no blessing except from Jesus Christ. But we would be utterly mistaken if God would send us a trial in our lives and that we would conclude from that trial, God has changed his mind. He is no longer blessing me. He has turned to curse me. Do you think that's an important issue? We're all thinking about, even the face masks that I see on members of the congregation, we're thinking continually about COVID. And some of us get COVID. God does not promise, which is false teaching, that no one who is a Christian will ever get COVID. I heard one evangelical teacher, he made this statement, if you wear the Bible over your heart, you're never going to get COVID. Okay, so if you do get COVID, Then somebody is going to ask you, did you have the Bible over your heart? Well, that is absolutely false theology. Right? God blesses us in Jesus Christ. And his blessing is eternal, it is finally unchangeable, and it will end in life eternal. He doesn't change his mind. The idea that God can be favorable to the wicked in this present life and then change his mind later in eternity is an entirely false idea. God loves us with an everlasting love. The blessing of God is the revelation of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that amazing? Don't ever consider the blessing of God as a small thing in your life. And sometimes when we consider the blessing of God in our life, we do. We take it all for granted. We somehow imagine that we have deserved it. After all, we've been so good, and we can list all the good things that we have done. No wonder God is so pleased with me. Not that way. We are ungodly sinners, every one of us. We deserve to be condemned, every one of us. We always have to be told that in the preaching of the word, this is what we deserve. But God blesses us in Jesus Christ with the blessing, and that's what I quoted from Ephesians, which is from before the foundation of the world, in Jesus Christ. You've heard that this morning, beloved. You've heard the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He blesses his people and he also curses his people. Or he doesn't curse his people, he curses the wicked, rather. And that he does also according to the purpose of reprobation. The truth that is hardly ever heard in the church world anymore. God is eternal. His purpose to bless and to curse is from all eternity. Our text tells us that God blesses the just and he curses the wicked. Whenever you come across the terminologies related to just, righteous, just, justified, there's a whole series of terms in the Bible that are all related, and you don't have to go out and study the Greek language to know that. You know that, and you've been told that many times. All of these terms are synonyms. They're kind of related to each other, and they're just different ways of saying the same truth. So the just are those who are justified in Jesus Christ. That's who they are. And God has declared them to be just, and he will declare them to be just through all eternity. So we believe that this passage, as many other passages, you cannot understand it right unless you understand it from the viewpoint of justification. The reason why God justifies us, beloved, has nothing to do with who we are, what we have done. It has everything to do with God's everlasting love to us in Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with his declaration After all, he's the judge of heaven and earth. It's not man who determines who and what we are and what we deserve. It's God only. No one else determines who we are and what we deserve. We don't deserve anything. God blesses us. God does that. He is, as Romans says, which is amazing, he justifies the ungodly. Now that's a truth you and I have to think through very, very carefully, right? It doesn't mean that God justifies those who are continuing in impenitent ungodliness, because that would destroy the whole text. He justifies those who are in Christ, whom he declares to be in Christ. He justifies, he blesses those who are in Christ and who in Christ Jesus are worthy of the blessings of salvation. The ground, the reason, the only reason why we receive the blessing of God is because of Jesus' everlasting love to us, because of his unchangeable love to us. What a sure comfort. What a blessed comfort that is. Our blessing doesn't come on the basis of what we deserve. Now, saying that does not mean that the child of God is careless and that he can be assured of the blessing of God by living in the way of impenitent wickedness. That, in fact, is impossible. The Heidelberg Catechism makes clear why that is impossible. And the reason why that is impossible is because the same God who blesses us, well, let's say it a little differently, the God who blesses us with his Holy Spirit. The Heidelberg Catechism is absolutely outstanding in its instruction on that. The one who is blessed in Christ is the one who also receives the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we are regenerated. And his work of regeneration is irresistible. It's absolutely effectual. Whom the Lord wills to regenerate. It's not dependent on our will. Whom the Lord wills to regenerate, he does regenerate. And so it is in that way, if you understand the truth of the Word of God correctly, those who are justified are also those who are holy. They are sanctified by the Spirit of Christ, and the Holy Spirit works the new heart and works in the heart of those who are justified in Christ. Regeneration and the desire to do good, to walk in the ways of the Lord, to love God and to keep his commandments. So, though you can never ever understand our text if you don't start with justification, it's also important for us to know that because Christ has given us his Spirit, we desire after God. He's not our enemy anymore. We know him as our God, and we know him as our friend. And we desire to walk in his way, and we experience his blessing not on the basis, okay, there's some confusion about that, not on the basis of our experience of God's goodness, but as a fruit of his work in our heart through the Holy Spirit, we also desire the blessing of God And we receive and we're conscious of that blessing in that way. The blessing of God. The blessing of God. The wicked man is judged because of his wickedness. Every turn of his life in which he or she reveals his or her wickedness will be visited with the curse of God. It's entirely impossible for a man to escape the curse of God. He can go to the end of the world. He can hide himself in the darkness. He'll never escape the curse of God. That's why this proverb is so exceedingly powerful. And he holds his fist in the face of God. He hears the word of God and he does not repent. The more the word of God comes to him, the more he hardens his heart in the way of wickedness. He never repents. Because of that, in the end, all of his false imaginations are going to be utterly destroyed. Already now, he's in many cases tormented by the wrath of God upon his life. But when it comes to the day of judgment, that's all there's going to be. The curse and the wrath of God. And so our text also speaks, and that's very interesting, wherein precisely does that blessing and cursing take place? And for the upright, the just, the righteous, it's in their habitation. Once again, we're impressed by what is called, and we should be familiar with this terminology, the verbal inspiration of God's word. Every single word in the Bible is inspired. None is there. There's no mistake. There's absolutely no mistake, not in a single word. And so God always, through the amazing process of the inspiration of the Bible, chose the exact words. Okay, the word for the just is the word habitation. Listen, what a beautiful truth this is. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Habitation is our home in particular. God is there. You and I might be desperately poor. My father lost his job, and with the economic situation in which we are presently facing in America and as well as the rest of the world, there could be a time when father doesn't have a job for quite a long time, and when the children have to eat less. Children could happen, you know. In God's providence, that could happen, and that's our home. Our habitation is the place where we live with our wives and with our children and as believers. Every day. It's a beautiful word. We wake up in our home, in our habitation. It doesn't mean just that when we're home that God blesses us. Of course not, right? That's a somewhat of a figurative expression, but we're always in the habitation. And who is there with us, beloved? The Lord our God is there with us. Jehovah, our God, He is with us. No matter what happens in the events and circumstances of our life, the habitation where we dwell is the place where the covenant God of our salvation lives with us and we with Him. And there, that's the reason for the blessing, you see. Because Jehovah is in our midst. We have, by the wonderful grace of God, we have a home that is the place where God lives and we live, and He blesses us, and we worship Him, and we live in thankfulness to God. So that's a beautiful expression. It's a covenantal expression, really. And we love that truth in the Protestant Reformed churches. Our habitation is our Christian home, beloved. It's especially our Christian home. Father comes home after work, and I hope we all still have family devotions together, right? The beautiful part of a covenant home, of our habitation. We begin our day with a family gathering around the table, and we are talking with our children, and we're reading the Bible, and we are reminded of the presence of God, and that the only, really the only important thing is to know that God is with us and that we are His people and that He is blessing us with all the blessings that He has prepared for us in Jesus Christ. When you know that, you have peace. You'll not be afraid of COVID. Nothing to be afraid of COVID, right? It's totally under God's control. Whatever happens will happen under His control. The Lord is with us. We will not fear. The Lord is with us. We will not fear. So the truth of our text is the truth that God, whose name is Jehovah, He is with us, and His favor and blessing is upon us in Jesus Christ. But now, take the contrast, right? An antithetical proverb always contrasts, right? Contrasts opposites. And in this case, the opposites are the just and the wicked, and the way of the upright and the way of the wicked. And all the words are taken in a proverb like that, and they are interchanged, and the meaning of them reflect on the meaning of all the other words. That's the beautiful idea of a proverb. And so the way of the wicked is cursed. From his mother's womb, from the cradle to the grave. That's his way. From the cradle to the grave. The way of the wicked is cursed of God. What a terrifying reality. And yet the wicked man continues in his wickedness. He does not repent. He refuses to repent. He knows that there is a God. He hates God. He holds his fist against in the face of God. The word wicked is really a word that means to create a tumult. A wicked man is a person who creates a tumult in his life. In one of the chapters in Isaiah, it's described as the wicked are like the troubled sea, casting up mire and dirt. That's all the wicked ever do. They will never do anything good, never do anything pleasing to God. They do nothing but wickedness, and God will curse them for their wickedness, for their life of wickedness. There will never be anything that a wicked man will do that he will escape from the judgment of God. For the Lord knows the judge is God. Remember that. We started out with that, right? God is the judge, and God will curse the way of the wicked. One of the most common figures of speech in the Bible is the figure of a way. A person walks on his way. It has a beginning and it has an end. That's the idea of a way, right? You start at a certain place and you have a destination in mind and you walk on that way. Every step that a wicked man takes in his wickedness, he is cursed of God. That's a dreadful reality. And if it were not, beloved, if it were not for the grace of God, every one of us would be walking on that way, and that way would bring us to eternal destruction. That's what our text talks about, right? The way of the wicked is cursed of God. The sovereign of heaven and earth, the righteous God who never judges in an evil way, who always judges perfectly, he curses the way of the wicked, and it shall perish forever. Through all eternity, the wicked man will experience that what he deserved because of his great wickedness. But now let's come to the last point of the sermon quickly, the comfort of the just. That's why you have to begin with justification here, right? You'll lose the gospel if you start without talking about justification. Right? The just are those who are justified in Jesus Christ. They're justified because of the everlasting love of Jesus Christ for them. What an amazing reality that is. The eternal, unchangeable love of Jesus Christ. That's the only ground of blessing, and that's the only ground of hope. So we're going through some pretty difficult times. I've said to my kids, we're 71 years old, me and my wife, and we've never, ever experienced some of the things that are happening in the present world in which we are living. And there is no doubt, in the light of the testimony of Scripture, there is no doubt that the curse of God, the wrath of God, is being poured out upon the world. We know that from the book of Revelation. One of the signs of the times, one of the signs that God is judging the world at the end, that is prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is plagues. We've never had a listen now and then to the news on this, and there were terrible plagues in the past. And none of us know the terrible plagues in our own lifetime, but we're facing one horrible plague. It's the world over. If you pay attention, every day there are news statistics, and these statistics are bleak. They are exceedingly bleak sometimes. No, I don't believe all of them. There's all kinds of politics going on in all of that. And we're aware of how much politics is involved in America here with all of that. But COVID is real. And COVID clearly is an indication that we're living in the last times. And the return of Christ is very near. Very near. Hey, we used to be quite quick to say it won't happen in our lifetime. I'm not quite as quick to say that. Yes, there are things that have to happen before the end time, but let's not become carnally secure, right? My wife and I were just talking about computer technology, where computer technology, IT technology, where that is bringing the world so rapidly. And I was listening to a newscast that talked about the advancement of the automobile. We could be less than 10 years away from having a car where you don't even have to drive it. Two people sitting in it are just talking to each other. And there are computers that are driving the cars, and there's no more accidents, or at least that's the hope. There's way less accidents than there are now because most accidents happen through human error. Well, the Antichrist is going to have signs and wonders. We're going to have cars that don't have accidents anymore. And everybody is going to want to have one of those, and everybody is going to follow the signs and the wonders of Antichrist. That is everyone who's deceived by the philosophy of the world. But we're not deceived. As long, beloved, as long as we know the Word of God, we understand it plainly. This is what God's Word says. The Lord blesses the habitation of the just. Let us not be afraid. Thanks be to his name. Glory be unto his name, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom belongs the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for its great comfort. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, who is the gospel through all of the scriptures, and who is the comfort of all those who are in him, justified in him, believing in him, walking through faith in him. So give us the grace in the midst of our own personal life and with our families to be assured of this wonderful word of thy blessing upon thy habitation in our midst through Jesus Christ. Amen.